Marhaba, and welcome to the Matrix Green Pill, where real people connect.
Welcome back to another episode of the Matrix Green Pill podcast. I'm Hilmarie Hutchison, and today we're stepping into the world of visionary tech with an extraordinary guest. Meet Wasim Mirbi, the driving force behind Verifax. With his pioneering concept of product digital twinning, he's revolutionized consumer engagement with Fortune 100 brands. But Wasim's impact doesn't end there. Let's hear more about his journey and experiences. Wasim, welcome and thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be on the Matrix show.
And it's a pleasure to have you here on the podcast. Could you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself and your background, please?
So I spent half of my life actually working for multinational global companies, the likes of Nokia, Microsoft, Kraft Foods, all over the globe in different leadership roles in sales and marketing specifically. That led up to 2010 when I decided to finally start my luck in setting up my own business. And that took me to become a channel partner for Microsoft in Iraq, stationed in Erbil, in the north of Iraq.
Let's go even further back. So did you grow up in Iraq?
No, I'm actually Lebanese, but I'm actually a citizen of the world. So the first 20 years of my life, I grew up in Lebanon and then went to Italy where I studied and worked and went here to Saudi Arabia to United Arab Emirates where I met my wife and settled. So that's in Dubai, basically, where I'm currently at. So originally, I am Lebanese.
Okay, but you call yourself a citizen of the world. So you've lived in the Middle East, you've lived in Italy and anywhere else?
In the UK as well. Yeah, Canada, UK. So our children were born in Canada. We lived in the UK with Kraft Foods when I was working with Kraft Foods. Saudi, Bahrain, UAE. These are all countries where we resided for some time.
Fantastic. This has also given your children a very wide view of the world if they've been born and lived in different countries as well. Why the UAE and why Dubai?
Dubai has a very unique flavor. It is a place that is in many ways very close to the culture that where we come from in Lebanon. But at the same time, it's a melting pot. It's a place where the whole world comes together, where it's very vibrant. It's very addictive as well. It's very busy. It's very convenient because you do get a lot of services. It is a meeting point between the West and the East. It's quite unique in that perspective.
You're absolutely right. It is indeed a melting pot of very different cultures, which is fantastic. So let's move then to this product digital twinning. Let's unpack that a bit. Can you tell us what it is and how it's reshaping consumer engagement?
I think the best way to do this is to help you picture it. Think about yourself going into the store, buying product. Let's say you're buying, you're in a supermarket and you buy product. You buy something for your children. Wouldn't you rather want, the brand to really tell you if the doctors recommend this product for your children, if it's good for your health, if you're into sustainability, wouldn't you want to communicate with the brands and see which brand is actually offering a more sustainable brand that can help with the world accelerate to net zero? If you're buying a certain brand on the regular basis, wouldn't you want to be recognized that you're buying Pampers as diapers, for example, for your children, and you'd rather have some kind of a personalized discount because you've been buying that for on a repetitive basis, and you wouldn't want to switch brands if they recognize your loyalty. And this is where we've realized throughout my career, myself as well as my co-founder in Verifax, where we've realized that this is missing. This direct communication channel between consumer and brand in multi-branded stores is broken. You only see the packaging. You see maybe if they have some price promotion or some offer, and that's about it. But there is no real interactive, real-time engagement between brand and consumers, and we wanted to change that.
Then this sort of leads me to the question about your name. I can hear what you're talking about is embodied in your name. Do you want to talk about your name a little bit, where it comes from and what it stands for?
Verifax is two words. Vero is from Latin and it means reality, real. And facts is all about verified facts. If you want to interact with a product, a medicine, someone is prescribing a medicine, the patient is taking it, he wouldn't be able to know if this is an authentic medicine, yes or no. If someone is giving a certain talcum powder to soothe his children, It doesn't know if it causes cancer or not, which ingredient could cause cancer or not. And these are like life-changing experiences where the consumer is eager to validate. Today, most of the consumers, 88% of the consumers, are keen on buying products that can actually help reduce the heat waves that we're seeing, the climate change that we're witnessing. But we don't know how to act about it because the companies don't have a way to engage direct and to start promote what that long-term engagement based on customer preferences, if that makes sense.
Yes, absolutely. So Verifact is a solution that gives the consumers the knowledge in their hands so that they can make informed choices. And also, as you, I think, mentioned earlier, it also recognizes loyalty to certain brands.
So what we do is literally create that communication and customer loyalty management platform between the product that are sitting on the shelf, having a certain interactive code. Think of it like a web link, represented by a QR code, or you tap it with an NFC, you can get to there, to a website that gives you all of the information that really matters to you at the point of purchase, and you get recognized and get the due reward or incentives for being loyal to the brand.
You have introduced something called the Digital Product Passport solution, which seems to have implications not only for business, but also for the environment. Could you share how this solution is contributing to companies' journeys toward net zero and ESG markets?
In order for you to verify if a product is sustainable, it's not actually as simple as it sounds. It's not as easy as, the food label to say you have extra salt here or extra fat or extra sugar. To rating a product based on sustainability criteria, you actually need to look at what were the chemicals that were used in this product. Are the material recycled? At what percentage? Where were the products, the material sourced from? So think of a simple t-shirt that you're buying. The fabric was most probably sourced as, let's say cotton from Egypt, sent into China. Then there it gets processed into a thread or later on into a certain, the material itself. From that, you actually start cutting it and as to the design and you dye it and which chemicals were used in all of these different fabrication and all of the transport emissions have to be calculated. So you need to have a multi-tier track and trace across your supply chain and then to be able to compare that on defined standards versus other products. In order for you to give the rating, this is more sustainable than other products. And that is a mammoth of a task. So what we've done is we've created the Digital Product Passport Traceability Platform that allows for brands to really aggregate all of that, sometimes structured, sometimes unstructured data, then collaborate with rating agencies. So these are like labs, etc., that can validate all the claims from the multi-tier suppliers, then encapsulate all of that information into easy to digest for retailers that want to focus on selling more sustainable product or consumers or even regulators that might be dishing out certain incentives for products that can demonstrate how sustainable they are.
That sounds absolutely fantastic. Now, for our audience who might never have heard of Verifact, how would they start using this product? Where do they find it? And what are sort of the practical steps for them to engage with this?
So far, we've been focused on empowering the enterprises, the brands, to start their journey in order to achieve either the sustainability or direct-to-consumer engagement. We do have, however, an application for consumers to go to a Google store or an Apple store, look up Verifact, download the application, and then any brand that is adopting our track and trace digital product passport solution, you're able to scan the product, get to know more about it, get to know if it's good for your children's health, if the medicine is authentic, if a certain fabric and the packaging is sustainable, and so on and so forth. However, we're currently still as a startup, we're still helping the brands to adopt that in mass. So when we scale globally, that's the time when the adoption by the consumers for the application will become more prevalent.
So you're still developing and it's still in the sort of early stages at this stage. I can see this kind of application, this kind of solution will also put some pressure on brands and products to ensure that they are and that they're doing the things they say they're doing, because consumers are going to be able to check and verify that the things they're claiming are in fact correct.
You couldn't be more right. Because today, if you look at the deception that is in the form of greenwashing, green claims that end up being actually false, and the, you know, different governmental bodies end up actually fining those brands. You see them folding that program, and the consumer might have paid a premium thinking they are supporting, you know, doing something good for the environment, when these were actually greenwashing claims. It's going to be a twofold. One is a regulatory requirement. It's already getting mandated. Europe has actually put up certain regulations, something called Circular Economy Action Plan, CEAP. There is the Carbon Border Taxation, CBAM regulation coming up, which has just been approved on August 23rd, you know, so yesterday. You have France, which is already piloting. Each and every fashion item now has to demonstrate, has to have an eco label to demonstrate that the product has a lower impact on the environment in terms of eutrophication, biodiversity, and in terms of carbon emissions. So there is the regulatory part, and there is the consumer that is really sick and tired of being lied to, that want to be able to validate and interact with the product and get data that they can trust.
That's fantastic. So this is going to have a huge impact on the way businesses operate, on the things they do, with benefits to the environment at the end of the day. And again, this is putting knowledge in the hands of consumers, which is what we all want. That's a brilliant solution.
It might even go beyond that. Because when we actually were asking consumers, would you only want to validate the no more and validate the claims and so on and so forth, the response is 88% are also wanting to do beyond that. They want to know if a brand is really committed towards sustainability. They want to be advocates of that brand. They want to be involved in certain activities that can improve the environment. They're counting on the brands, on those businesses, to actually create a way. They're even willing to dish out of their pocket a certain change, extra change, for buying carbon offset that will help those brands accelerate to net zero. So there's a huge win in engaging, creating that direct engagement channel between consumer and brands.
Absolutely. And also it's leveling the playing field, because brands who are legitimately investing additional resources, budget, to ensure that their products are moving towards net zero, supporting the environment, being sustainable, are now able to benefit from consumers understanding that they are the real thing, versus those who are just making those greenwashing claims and actually not putting their money where their mouth is.
100%.
Your journey with Verifact spans 4 years so far, during which time you've worked on revolutionizing marketing for consumer packaged goods and retail sectors. Can you highlight some of the most significant changes or breakthroughs that you've witnessed during this time?
Yeah, when you're beginning a startup, you have the idea, you have all of your experiences, you know it in your gut, in your heart, in your mind, that this is something that is quite valuable as a service for companies, but you don't have the audience and the support and the investors to go out and really get the traction needed for your business to really scale up fast. You're depending on your network and your environment. We're sitting in a corner of the world in Dubai, and we're developing technology. We're two guys that are excited that we know sales and we know marketing. We know creating that direct bridge between brand and consumer is going to deliver so much mutual benefits for both, for the consumer as well as the brand. We're eager to start with it. And, you know, that was in 2019 that we started. We got invited to the United Nations to demonstrate how track and trace can help prevent certain 200,000 deaths that are happening every year from medicine. We got a lot of attention from the fashion industry that wanted to have track and trace for their inventory, for operational excellence, for following their inventory around the globe, but also for engaging on sustainability. One event happened that we all know about, which is COVID-19. But I'll tell you more about that in a while. In a nutshell, you're going all out and you're depending on yourself. And then you find that you cannot actually juggle everything that you need to do, which is develop the product, get enough investors to support to get there, employ the right talent and people, being able to communicate effectively across all of these, across the world, so that you drive the growth needed to get more and more support and continue with your growth journey.
So the concept of merging purpose and profit is gaining traction. From your perspective, how can companies effectively balance these two aspects, and what role does Verifact play in supporting this balance?
In the end, we're all visitors. I mean, this is my theory of life. We're all visitors on this planet. No one is going to take with him anything that is material that is around us. The glory and so on and so forth, you know, it gets forgotten. So the key thing in life is, how did we leave this place that we came to visit? If I'm visiting friends, I'm very respectful of them accepting me into their house. And when I leave their house, I wouldn't have trashed it. I wouldn't have destroyed anything that is valuable. I would leave it either as good as it happened, or make sure that I also contribute, maybe bring something that adds even more value to the place that I'm visiting. And I look at our life and this world the same way. And this is ingrained in Verifax. Verifax, although we are a startup, we have restricted resources. We've actually sponsored scientific mission to go into Antarctica to study the impact of microplastics on the melting caps and on the life around the globe. We've actually educated children on sustainable lifestyle and how to choose a product, how to scan or ask the right questions. If they don't have the digital product passport from Verifax, how you can ask the right questions, educate them on what are the 6 criteria defined by the United Nations on sustainable product. Simple things like buying local water versus water coming from halfway around the world in a glass bottle can have actually 4 times the emission. Just a simple thing that we don't think about much and do it can actually have a significant impact on the planet. With limited resources, you cannot actually not be thoughtful and really think of what is it that you can contribute to make this world a better place. We developed a solution, although we saw that the money is in the marketing, but we made sure that we develop a solution for digital product passporting on the sustainable side. As a startup, a lot of our investors said, just follow the money now, do the nice things to do later. But that's not the trajectory we follow.
I absolutely love that. And I also love the perspective of doing what we can to leave this planet better than the way we found it. And money is not the first thing that was on your agenda. I love that. Innovation often comes with challenges. And what were some of the obstacles you and your team faced when introducing the idea of product digital twinning, and how did you overcome them?
So I think in the end, it all comes down to people. If you have the right talent in your corner, then everything else is a detail. These are your partners, your journey partners. Your employees or your staff are your journey partners. And you need to make sure that they feel that way. They need to become shareholders in your company. They need to own that business just like you own it. And you need to have the right partners also win in your corner. We had a lot of challenges initially on how do we actually develop the application, do it fast, reach out to the clients, participate in challenges until we got, you know, our chance and we got a contract from a Fortune 100 company called AB InBev on their FIFA World Cup promotion in 2021. We did a pilot with them and then it became a full-fledged service that we're selling to them. But during that early days, it was all about how do you, you know, manage that small team, make sure that they don't burn out, that you're able to deliver, that you're nurturing those talent, that you create that feeling of family, everyone owns that company, not just in words, but in an ESOP. So everyone really physically has equity within that business. And then you have the right partners to develop, which means if I'm going to be servicing clients all over the globe, I need to have a technology platform, a cloud platform that is able to scale up my service wherever the business comes. And for that, we were lucky actually to be picked up by Microsoft, who have been very staunch supporters of ours. You know, they understood very quickly the value that we deliver for brands, for consumers. And then they gave us a lot of credit for us to develop our solution. They gave us a lot of credit for us to have certain consumption on the cloud, fixing the service until we reach a stage where we're already generating revenue and we're sustainable. And today, we couldn't be prouder of this partnership, honestly.
So having the right partners and the right technology in place is what helped to overcome challenges you might have had.
And the right talent.
And the right talent. Very good. Wasim, for aspiring innovators and entrepreneurs, what advice would you give to those looking to make a meaningful mark in the world of technology and consumer relations based on your own journey?
Technology is a fast-moving industry, right? It involves everything. Technology is just a digital way of doing everything that we do. Today, we're doing this podcast across thousands of miles, and it works because you have the right technology infrastructure between us, the Zoom meeting and so on and so forth. The key thing is, how do you actually apply technology is more important than technology itself. ChatGPT is a very disruptive technology and it's a very nascent technology. Technology doesn't matter. What matters is, how do we apply that technology into our life? Many times I see a lot of the technology companies talking about their technology and so in love with their technology that they miss out on saying, What is the use case and the benefit for the client to adopt that technology? If it's an advice, I would say, just make sure you're always coming across as a consultative partner for the companies, not as someone in love with his technology.
I think that's excellent advice. So don't just be narrow-minded, see the bigger picture. Thank you so much for sharing Verifax's trailblazing path, as well as your commitment for reshaping the industries for the better. Now we've come to our version of a game show. So it's time to turn up the heat with our lightning round, and I'll be asking you some rapid-fire questions. Are you ready?
Yeah, 100%.
What's one tech gadget you cannot live without?
Obviously, my mobile phone. That's something that I'm glued to the whole day.
Okay, I think that's the same for most of us. What's one hobby that keeps you sane outside of work?
Scuba diving. It's unbelievable when you get to that alien world that is right next to us, and how serene it is when you're underneath, and how immense is that ocean and the biodiversity that you see, and how it actually helps me relax and focus on how do I breathe, how do I move, how do I interact with all these different species of animals that I see in the ocean.
It's also remarkably quiet when you scuba dive, right? For us living in the technology world, and we've got phones buzzing and we've got things happening, there's sounds and noises. And when you go into the ocean, it's just that quiet, as you say, a good place to really think, because there's nothing distracting you and it's just so beautiful.
Absolutely.
If you weren't in the tech world, what career would you have pursued?
When I was young, I wanted to be a pilot. I've always had that kind of intrigue about how do I live and how do other people live? How do we look like each other and how do we differ? How trivial are these differences, or how important are these differences? And so I've always wanted to go all around the world. I managed to do that without having to end up becoming a pilot, but that was my alternative universe kind of career.
I love that. What was the last song or podcast you listened to?
I do listen to a lot of songs and podcasts. The one that I can remember is actually one recently done by the CEO of Microsoft, Satya Nadella, where he was introducing actually Copilot. Whatever we're today doing, and we think we're already augmented by all of that technology, I think within the next 12 months, each and every human being will be augmented, I think, orders of magnitude more, with artificial intelligence becoming, you know, at our fingertips, really helping us with everything that we do, screening our emails, analyzing unstructured data, building certain decks that really deliver the message that we want to get only with certain word prompts, or sort of spoken or typed word prompts. Human beings will be augmented significantly. The other flip side to that is, well, wouldn't that have a risk on many of us actually losing the capability to still find a job if some of those augmentation will take away some of the roles that are supporting the more gifted of us, or the smarter ones of us? It's a double-edged sword.
I think that is something that many people do worry about, the impact that AI is going to have on some jobs that can be automated. Do you have an idea? What's your take on that?
If you look at history, this convergence, divergence pattern is part of the rhythm of life. It's part of everything. You have a vibration everywhere in life. So it's a friction. It's a period of friction. Obviously, beyond the friction, which is, you know, you're converging all of that technology and augmenting the individual, so you don't need a lot of other services that you were previously using. That will create a certain friction on others. But then beyond that, others will have to retool themselves and reinvent themselves. And then you will see again an economic divergence, because everyone is so augmented and able to deliver more output, basically, by becoming more intelligent. It's an area of that conversion diversion that, you know, we have to live in it. The society will adjust. But in this period, you do need to take care of the more vulnerable people so that society stays cohesive.
Yes, an interesting take. I appreciate you sharing that. My last question on the rapid fire. What is one thing that you do every day, no matter how busy you get?
I actually say I love you to my wife, my children, and a few of the very close friends that I have. I think that I have to religiously deliver that feeling that I express, not out of duty, but out of, you know, making sure that people know that they have me in their corner. I appreciate them in my life.
So lovely. Well, thank you very much for playing along. That was the end of our game show. Before we wrap up, we'd like to do our Green Pill moment. So could you share an inspiring or life-changing experience that you have gone through, your Green Pill moment?
The Green Pill moment was actually due when I was launching Verifax, myself and my co-founder. We got supported by the Ministry of Health in UAE and Department of Health in Abu Dhabi. And we got invited to go to the United Nations on May 2019. And we had investors lined up to invest in our business, and the world is ours to take. While we were there, while we were presenting at the United Nations in Geneva, Switzerland, we got introduced to the sponsor of that event. That was a Hong Kong-based company. They told us, we love what you're doing in terms of the track and trace, in terms of allowing for products to be verified and turned interactive and so on and so forth. We'd love to actually invest into your business and help you grow. However, we do have a certain long process of about 6 months. During those 6 months, we'll do the due diligence and we will invest in you. And for you to know, we will pay you the salaries for during that period, and then we will invest in you at double the value. So, but we want you to cut any investor relationship that you have today and just focus with us for that period. And we did exactly that. However, December 2019 is the time that COVID-19 happened. And then these guys were no longer to be heard of. Now, obviously, I think the world was then struggling and everyone, maybe Hong Kong and China, businesses came to know about the problem before everyone else. There was a lot of uncertainty, but then my whole world was collapsing on me after I could see the business growing so fast and you know, us really reaching amazing heights. And after kicking all of the early investors out and waiting on these guys disappeared. It was really a shock. And we couldn't understand some of the messages that were coming, getting from them. We are on lockdown. We cannot talk. Wait, please wait, or talk to lawyers. What is all of that? What is a lockdown anyway? And then we came to know 3 months later, what is a lockdown? And that also created additional stress on our business and doubt in, can we survive? Can we still make it? Should we actually figure out something different, go back to employment or do whatever? It was quite a hard period back then.
Wow, what a remarkable story. But at the end of it, they came through and you stayed with the same investors, or did you have to find new investors?
Fortunately for us, Dubai was quick to react to COVID, to get the vaccines on time, to open up after, you know, the lockdown only lasted for about 2.5-3 months, and then the world opened up. And as soon as that happened, investors came back to Dubai. And so we didn't go back to that Hong Kong company. We actually got other investors on board from July that we were in contact with. They were ready to invest in us from January 2019. So they expressed an interest, but then we said, sorry. Then we went back to them and they supported us, and we are where we are today.
What a remarkable story. Thank you so much for sharing that. I mean, my goodness, as you say, like reaching up to certain heights and then being crushed down and thinking, how are we going to get through this? And then here you are 4 years later. So incredible. Well, that's a wrap, folks. Thank you so much, Wasim, for being here today and for sharing your story. Your insights have ignited my imagination, and I'm sure it will for our audience as well. And you've given us a glimpse into the future where innovation meets purpose. So thank you very much for that. Before we say goodbye, could you please tell our listeners where they can find and follow you? And we'll also put this in the show notes.
Verifax.com is our website, and I'm available on LinkedIn. So you're more than happy to connect with any early startup founders. I love to support. I mean, this is part of the, you know, how do we make the world a better place? I love to support early founders that are looking to change the world with technology or with digital ways of doing things, business to business or business to consumer. This is something I do religiously, spend time to help founders. So I'm a mentor for a number of startups, and I sit on the board of a few others, invested in some other startups as well. More than happy to engage with early founders to help them on navigating the hurdles or better positioning their product for better traction.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing that. And again, thank you so much for being here. This was a fantastic conversation, and I wish you all the very best. And for sure, I'll be following your journey and the journey of Verifax.
Thank you. Same to you, by the way, Henry.
If you enjoy our conversations, please like and subscribe. See you next Wednesday.